Let's do number on Chav Beis Amud Beis. Okay, there's a Mishnah. Chav Beis Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Okay. So, the Gemara now, the Mishnah now is going to get into the process of Malkus itself. Okay? How does it happen? How does it go down? Okay? So, Ketzad Malkinoso. The second Mishnah. Okay? So, Kofes Shte Yadav Al Hamad. Helech Veilech. So you like tie his two arms, right? Or his two hands on the pillar.
Okay.
On the pillar. Right, this side and that side. Right, on both sides of the pillar. Rashi. Eitz echad notz bekarka. Right, so this wood stuck into the ground. Gavoa k'neged shtei amos, so amos v'chetzi. It's like two amos or 1.5 amos tall. Who kafaf and he's bent over mutal also amud on leaning on the pillar. Adam hanismach al briach delas v'toliyad v'lamata, like a person who's leaning on I don't know, the hinge of a door or something, door handle or something, and you tie his hands under it. V'kov sin lo yadav v'tzidehamud, so you basically tie his hands, puts his hands under, and then you tie his hands on the side of the pillar. Okay. Okay, fine, whatever, right? So he's leaning over this thing, and then you tie his hands down. Okay. I guess so he doesn't move out of place or whatever. V'chazan ha'kneses ochez v'gadav. And v'chazan, the guy in charge, okay, Rashi says, shamash ha'kahal, like the servant of the kahal, v'lo shamati bo shamashmos. I haven't heard any mashmos of why he uses that term. Okay, so whatever. The guy who's in charge, he grabs him by his clothing. Im nikru, nikru. If they tear, they tear. Im nifrmu, nifrmu. And if they tear further, I think Rashi nifrmu says dikos kadra kriya shel tfira. So if it rips on the stitches, so basically if it rips normal in a regular place, not on the stitches, or if it rips on the stitches, whatever happens, it rips. Okay, adju megala esliva, until you reveal his heart, his chest. Right? So basically, it's like you're pulling him by his clothing, okay, and seemingly trying to rip them, okay? Seems that way. Or at least, it's funny, if it rips, it rips. If it, I think it means like, look, it's going to end up ripping one way or another. But if it rips on the seam, it rips on the seam. If it rips on whatever, it rips on, you know, either way. Okay? Until you reveal his heart. Okay? So why do you do that? So they have here on this footnote. Yeah, again.
It's different than avelos, then the type of ripping.
Matter there's a whole sugya there.
You do a koray also.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not holding an avelos, but I know those terms come up there. Yeah. So they say here in this footnote, where did this footnote go? They say, why are you ripping his shirt? So they have a different girsa, but hold on. Where did I just see this? Oh. Oh, yeah, here it is. It says, so there's a different girsa, or based on Tosus and Sota, which says, Mishum dechsiv bo v'nikla, because it says, you embarrass him, mitzvah l'navlo, it's a mitzvah to degrade him. That's Tosus and Sota, chasim and aleph. Okay? So arguably, the ripping his clothing is to embarrass him, to degrade him. Okay? That's what Tosus learns. Okay, fine. And there's a stone placed behind him. Okay? Me'achor shel nidon, behind the guy who's being whipped. Okay, what's the stone? The chazan ha'kness is omed office. And the chazan, the whipper guy, in charge of the congregation or whatever, he stands on it. And he's holding the strap. So he's standing up from high up, I guess. He has a strap. So it's like a strap of an egel, of a calf, which is kfula achas ashtayim ashtayim larva. It's folded once into two and then two into four. Okay, so four layers of strap. And has two straps of a chamor going like inside of it, interior to somehow. So you like somehow weave them together. Okay, so it's like this combo of a calf and the chamar. Okay, and a donkey. Okay.
Is that like the types of leather? Or
yeah, types of leather. The Gemara is going to say there's like a remez, and if we want to remez these two animals, we're going to get to that. Yerashi. Kvula achas ashtayim, od ritzu acheres kvula ashtayim. Hainu shtei ritzu ashenu arba. So you have like two straps which are doubled over, so it makes four. V'oshnan shtei ritzuos, and these two of ojtei ritzuos, olas yordis, but kilomar, oshnan shtei ritzuos, oitulis be'emtza ritzua. So these two straps are in the middle. V'shel chamor, l'kayim bohem, yavo mi shemakir be'evos balav. So this is in order to be a kayim, a pasuk, which is going to quote in the Gemara. That chamor recognizes its master, and this guy doesn't recognize his master. So something like that. Okay, we'll get to it. Okay, fine. So then what happens? Yada tefach, v'rachva tefach. So its handle is a tefach, and the width of the strap is a tefach. V'rosha magas al pi kresa. And the end of the strap reaches all the way until his belly. Okay. One second. Yoda tefach. Rashi says makel shetuliyaba, the stick which shetuliyaba arka tefach. The width of it is a tefach. V'ritzu atzma rachva tefach. It's tefach wide u'magasa pikreisa, and it goes till his belly. Shemeshayar kach shekshumake. So when you hit it, you evaluate it. And when you hit him, kala rosha shel ritzu b'fi kreiso b'tchilas kreiso. So you're going from behind, I guess, and the strap is going to get to the beginning of his belly. Around the front, right? Kshemaka omid b'tzara muka. Oh, because you stand, the hitter stands on the side of him. B'tzara muka. Umake osib rochav gabo. When you hit him on the width of his back, hilgach orech haritzua, the length of the strap, rochav kol gabo. It's going to go on the width of his whole back. Ad makom shemas l'shamakeres, until his belly, till the beginning of his belly. Right? So, right, you follow the picture? It's like you're hitting across his back. Yeah, going around his back, and the strap has to be the length that it basically just touches the front of his belly, the beginning of his belly.
So it's like going around his side, like under where his arm would be.
Yeah, right. Right, it covers his entire back and a teeny bit of his belly, right? So you're going from on the side of him, the strap is going to go like around his, you know, across his whole back and a little bit to the belly. I had said that before that the stone was behind him. Now is it on his side or is it behind? So if you're behind him, it sounds like when you're behind him, that's not possible. So it says it's true you're behind him, but you like angle your body in a way that you end up hitting him on this like sideways. Okay, it's hard to picture exactly, but okay, fine. So then what happens? Let's keep moving. And you hit him a third in the front and two thirds in the back. Shishmil fano rashi al beten on the stomach. V'shtei yados and two thirds mechorav on his back. More first time. The Gemara's going to explain why. Okay. So it's two thirds on the back and one third on the front. Okay. Ve'eno maki oso lo omed v'lo yoshev elamuta. You don't hit him standing upright nor sitting, but like leaning over. Shnemer v'yipilu ha'shofet. He like leans him over. Okay, he leans him over. Okay, fine.
But how do you get at his front?
I don't know. I guess maybe for the front he turns facing you. I would think. I'm not sure. Good question. Sounds like that. I mean, it doesn't tell us about him turning around, but I would think so. I'll bit no. I'm in Vav. In Vav Kasa. What?
Like what I'm imagining, his front would be totally inaccessible.
Unless he turns around, though.
Yeah, but why are you uncovering his heart, then?
Isn't he tied up? How's he going to turn around?
When you're uncovering him, you're uncovering his heart, right?
Oh, his heart could just mean like...
Valet Libo.
Right. I know, but it could just mean like his chest, his shirt, his midsection. I don't know, like his upper body. I don't know if it means specifically his heart. I don't know. Well, he said before the reason why you're uncovering his heart is so that he'll be embarrassed. Not necessarily because of anything else. Maybe if it's only his heart uncovered, then maybe still you could, you know, hit his shirt.
But But he's tied up, right? His hands are tied up again onto a thing. And he's facing that thing, and you're standing behind him, so...
Yes, that's how you do it for the ones on the back. What I'm saying is maybe for the ones on the front, you take a different position. And as the submission is telling you the position which you're taking for the ones on the back, which are a majority of them. What I'm saying is maybe...
Oh, and then you would change.
Yeah, maybe you get a different position for the ones on the front. I think. I don't know for sure, but... Unless you're going to... I don't know, it's going to be hard to get the whip around the other way, right? Unless you get a funny angle on the whip where you guys come under his belly. You know?
Does he go from his front to his back?
Yeah, right, from his front to his back.
Is it the same, like, surah back to front, like it's most front and like it hits, like,
I don't
here?
No, it doesn't give us that much information.
Uh-huh. Are they different makos, or is the same maka that's two-thirds is going to cover the back and one-third the front?
No, they're different hits. In other words, if you're doing six hits, so four of them are going to be in his back and two of them are going to be in his front. Yeah. Okay, I mean, the Gemara is going to take up each of these things, I think. But let's just get the basic flow of the Mishnah here, okay? So then it says like this. And the guy who hits, he hits with all his strength, with one hand. Kore, and the reader reads as following. Im lo sishmar lasos v'chulei. Okay, here, let me read the full pasuk has here. Lo sishmar lasos es kol divrei Torah hazos, aksuv masefer hazeh, liyira es Hashem hanichol v'anor hazeh, es Hashem alakecha. So if you don't keep basically the Torah and shvir Hashem, then hifla Hashem es makoscha, ve'es makos zarecha, makos gedol zeh ne'manos, v'chol yimra en v'ne'manim. Hashem is going to basically give you basically major... differentiate your hits. Okay, so the pasuk is in the Tocha, I think. Talking about how Hashem is going to really punish you. Okay, and then you read, next you say, and I'm sorry, the Hifla, right? The Chozer Tchilas HaMikra, and you go back to the beginning. Right? Why are you going back to the beginning? Here, Rashi. Here. The Kori Kori Imlo Sishmar. Mifsha Pshitalan. It's Pasha to the Gemara, the Bai Kriya, that you have to read something when you hit him. Because then we're in Rekrisos. Vikorastiya. So pasuk, I think that's by Shivcha Harufa, it says Bikoras Tia, which means Malkus. But it's a funny li, why we call it Bikoras? So Bikriya Tehei, it's a drasha, means with reading. So it's like a way it references Malkus is Bikorai, Bikriya. So it's clear to the Mishnah that there's reading when you do Malkus, but it's just telling you what you read. So that's what it's saying. It's just saying is that you read this pasuk. The Hifla, right? What's that Aleph there? One second, the Bach. No, you take out that, maybe. Then you go back, and then you read, one second. I'm not sure what that means. You go back into the beginning?
I mean, I have my Aleph goes to Gauss
and
Gra.
And what does it say? It says take it out. It's not clear what you're taking out, though, no?
Well, mine says, Ushmartem es v'chulei ad l'tchilas ha-mikra.
Okay. So you take that whole thing out? Okay, that's how you take it out.
Unless it's trying to say, instead of the word v'chulei, you use ad.
Maybe. And if you have it in, it says, Ushmartem es divrei ha-bris, which is another pasuk, and also I think in Tocha. Shmarta was different, or maybe not. Shmarta was different. Also, Asisimo son lamantas kilo es kol asher tasan. And then it says, "V'hu rachlam yechaper avon le'yisus b'ashev pov le'kol chamasa bechozer tchiz mikra." So I think it means like tchiz mikra means like you go again. Okay, and as you keep reading them until they finish the malchus, like you go in circles. Something like that. You read these three pasukim. Okay.
Is that a sipur, or is that just part of the hakala?
What you do while you're hitting. While you're hitting, you basically start reading these psukim.
Is there an actual count?
Like a count? Oh, no, there's also a count. There's a count of how many makas you're getting. Uh-huh. But this is like a different guy reads. And there's different roles, we'll say. Mm-hmm. One guy reads, one guy counts, one guy hits. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if he ends up dying from this whole thing, Potter, the guy who hits him is Potter because he's doing a mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah. He's busy doing a mitzvah, so it's like an onus. But Hosef lo ritzua achas umeis, but if he does an extra hit by accident and he dies, then harizei gol al yado, then he goes to galus. Because then he's not involved in the malchus. The extra hit is just nothing. He's not doing the mitzvah anymore. Right? Here Rashi. Umeis tachas yado potter. The shliach bezin hu. Dormen el yatsa av malchus v'no shliach bezin. So if someone's doing a mitzvah, there's a p'tor from galus. If you kill b'shogeg while you're doing a mitzvah. Okay? But Hosef lo ritzua achas, ala omer, more than the omer, they value him for 16, do a 7th. Umeis harizei gol al yado. If you have 10 people who hit him with 10 hits each, one hit each, and he dies, they're all potter. Because I guess you can't identify which one did it. Or they all did it. That's talking about where he basically was, I don't know. Let's leave that alone. Okay? Fine. So he's dealing with another problem. Okay, then it says, Niskalkel, this is what we read already. If he goes to the bathroom, Bein Berei, Bein Mimayim, Potter, Rabbiram, Eish Berei, Vaish Mimayim. So that's the machlokas we read there. Okay? Okay. So it's a whole nice story about all the different things, the whole process, right? The whole procedure. And there are a lot of different details here. I'm kind of running through them because I think Gemara is going to take up a bunch of them, right? But it's just kind of going through the basic. So let's say the Gemara. I mean, in general, I like to do with these things. It's like, you know, what are you going to say to the Mishnah? The Gemara usually takes up a lot of details in the Mishnah, so you can start trying to work on them and figure out what exactly they mean and why, whatever. Sometimes the Gemara clarifies these Mishnahs. So it clarifies what they mean and clarifies the reasons for it and the limudim. And so, in my opinion, it's a little premature to just start digging as far as the Mishnah without having seen what the Gemara is about. Okay? Okay. So, the first Gemara is a little cryptic. The Bach even takes it out. But the Gemara says, "My taima, what's the reason? Mishum nikla, because embarrassing him." Right? So, well, my taima, what? Right? That's a question. What is it going on? Right? So the Bach takes it out. Right? The Bach says, you see, Tevel Seilin Lechukim. It's not even there or something. Right? So it's not clear what it's saying. So in the Masifta, they have a few different shatim. Right? Saying something is because of Nikla, but not clear what. Hold on a second. Let me see here. So, Chav Kimel and Aleph.
That wouldn't be the last part.
What?
That wouldn't be the last part.
You know, sometimes I would have thought it would be the first part of the Mishnah. Oh, you mean last part because of the going to the bathroom?
Right.
Yeah, I hear that. It's just funny for Mishnahs. Mishnahs usually start at the beginning. Right. You know, Gemara usually starts analyzing the beginning of the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. Or the first thing which deserves analysis. It's just funny to leave it open-ended like that, right? Mm-hmm. So here, they say like this. I go to Bach, he removes it, right? He says, the Siach Yitzchak say it's going on the Tosos. That basically, why are you ripping his clothing? Right? Why are you ripping his clothing? Right? And remember I told you Tosos in Sota says that the reason why you rip his clothing is to embarrass him. Right? And that's what the Gemara is asking. Why are you ripping his clothing? And the Gemara is answering, oh, Mishum Nikla. Because part of the Malchus is to embarrass him. Right? Mm-hmm. That's part of the Malchus. They're embarrassing him. Right? So you're treating him like a piece of meat or whatever. Right? Like you pull him, you push him, you rip his clothing. It's like you're undermining the Kavod Adam. It's part of what you're doing here. Right? You're giving him Malchus. You're not treating him respectfully. Because after all, he's like Malchus, you're about to hit him, and you're just tossing him around. Right? I guess the clothing is like his dignity, and he loses his dignity by acting like this. Mm-hmm. So you're as part of the process. You do it in an undignified manner. Right? Mm-hmm. But he says, the Rambam, when he brings down this or that clothing, he learns a different pshat. Okay, so what is the Rambam? Let's look at the Rambam here. So the Rambam, Shum. Okay. Oh, Shum. I'm not sure if it's Shum in the Pirush of Mishnah. He says like this, maybe it's in the Pirush of Mishnah. The Rambam says that the reason why you rip his clothing is because it says v'hikahu. You hit him. And this maybe was the gosh what you're thinking. V'hikahu means below kesusa. Right? V'hikahu. You hit him. Not that you hit his shirt, but you hit his body. Right? Okay. I get it right. So that can't be the reason Mishum Nikla, right? Because it can't be that the reason why you're ripping his clothing is going to Ram is Mishum Nikla, because Ram says the reason why you're ripping his clothing is that V'kahu, you have to hit his guf, right? You're hitting his guf, not his clothing. So then what's the Gemara asking when it says my taima? So they want to say in the Sifta that it means, no, it's asking why do you tie him to the pillar, and that's because of Nikla. Okay. Yeah, how's that? What's pshat? Why is that Nikla? I guess it's like, you know, tying him down. It's like a dog or something. I need to tie him to a post.
It's implying that he's gonna run away.
Maybe implying he's gonna run away, which sometimes he does. Right? But I guess it's the meaning. I guess it's the meaning to tie a guy up. You tie him down. I guess so. And the Imre Tzvi, they quote someone else who says, no, it's why does he... why are you ripping it? Why are you grabbing his thing in order to rip them? Just tell him to take off his shirt or something. Saying that's the embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, you see why the Bach takes it out. I mean, it's totally vague. What's good? What is he even talking about, right?
Yeah. And wouldn't that be the first, to say that it's because of the tying down thing? That it's because of the tying down? Wouldn't that be a problem because then he should be putter at that point?
Putter when? Oh,
when he's tied down because of Nikla.
Oh, I see. I mean, we said that there was no Nikla, right? It's true. You mean there's no embarrassment when he ran away because he wasn't embarrassed yet. But I mean, if you say that tying him down is to embarrass him, then you mean you already did have the Nikla. Yeah, that's true. I seem to remember that. That's a good point. Yeah. But according to the Rambam, I guess even if you say according to Rambam, the reason why he doesn't have a shirt on is because you have to hit his body, it doesn't mean you have to rip it off, right? Pull it, and with no regard of how it rips. Right, that's like if it rips like on the seam, it's on the seam, if it rips on this, right? Basically, Mom says you just grab him and yank him and pull him, and right? With no concern whatsoever. So, even if you want him to be bare, so fine, tell him to take off your clothes, take off your shirt, right? You don't have to rip it off, right? Right, that makes sense. Like a lot of things, you know, you do a test. They do an EKG, they have to, you don't wear a shirt. So they put whatever, so you take off your shirt. You don't rip it off. I mean, just because the process has to be on your skin, it's not normal to just rip a guy's shirt off. Why are you doing that? And also in like a haphazard manner, that wherever it rips, with no regard whatsoever if you're going to totally destroy the shirt. Right? So that's what it's saying, is because of Nikla. Right? You're treating him, you're not treating him with respect here. Which is interesting, because you could have said, whipping him is the vinikla. But now you have to go over and beyond. You know? It's like the whole, apparently, the vinikla, whether you say it's going on the shirt, or they're tying him down, or I don't know, whatever else you want to say, it's like the process involves nikla. It's not just you hit him. It's like, since the kim is nikla, it involves other things. But it's a little tricky, though. Because you see, if he goes to the bathroom, well, that's too much. We don't embarrass him that much. That's what was confusing about this whole sugya. It's like, on the one hand, you're trying to embarrass him, on the other hand, you're not. I think what we said before is good, because there's a lo Yosef. That there's, just like there's a din of not hitting too much, there's also a din of not embarrassing him too much. There's a limud Rashi had there. So there's a measurement to the embarrassment. So going to the bathroom is not part of the deal. That's already a super added thing. But to throw him around and to treat him like, you know, I guess it's saying it doesn't make sense to treat him with a kachavot and then to start whipping him. So what are you doing? So you're pulling him, you set him up, you put him down, you tie him down, and the whole idea is you're just subjecting him to your hakah, So you don't have to treat him, make sure, oh, I don't want to rip your shirt, sorry. You know, on the contrary, you put him into position. I guess the easiest way to put him into position is to control him, to push him. And you're treating him like a chavtza. Right? It's interesting. It's interesting just because it says v'nikla, how do you learn, how do you know that you do that? You know, I don't know. Let's keep moving. Right? I mean, it's hard to, you don't spend too long on something like this because it's like very indefinite about what's really even being said. You know, what's the Gemara's even going on? The Bach even takes it out. No one's quite taking a stand on what it is. It's some people in the back of the Sifta who have theories. Maybe it means this, maybe it means that. You know, it's like not, you know, those types of things. There's more fertile territory to start spending time on defining. But, you know, they're interesting. Okay, so let's keep moving. So this is like this. Amar of Sheshas, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Minayim l'ritzua shehi shel egel. How do you know that the strap should be made out of a calf? Right? Tichsev arbaim yakenu. You should hit him 40 lashes. V'samachlei. And right next to it, lo sach som shor v'disho. You shouldn't muzzle an ox in his threshing. It's an iser to when an animal is threshing. So it's typical that it's going to eat while it's working. It's going to eat the floor. It's on the threshing floor. It's threshing, stepping on the wheat. So it's hungry. It's presumed it's going to eat some stuff. So it might be, you might say, I don't want to let him eat. So it's halacha, you're not allowed to withhold the food from him. While he's working, he eats. Similarly, by a person, the worker, you have to let him eat food while he's from the field, you know, while he's working. Okay? It's a whole sugya. But so it's saying is that lav, the issur of muzzling your animal while he's working, is said samach to this pasuk of Arbaim Yakenu. Okay? In a strange way. Arbaim Yakenu lo yosef penis lekosu makarab of nikla chichla enecha lo sasam shorvedisha. Totally out of love. In fact, there's cases, there's a lot of sugyas that you use, that's like a model of the lav that you get malchus for. Lav she'en b'maisa. And it's not in the Tiklasei, you know, it's like all different, it's like because it's like totally clearly smack out of place. So it's like it must be the Sam Lima. So the Lima they're learning here is that why do you hit it with the whip made of a calf? Because right after the Parsha of hitting him, it has, don't muzzle your ox. Right, so I guess a calf, an ox, whatever, the same species. So it's saying the same thing. Okay. Strange, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Strange. Right. Okay. Let's read a little bit more. But, I mean, that, it would be nice if we get a svar for that. But let's read. There's a little
it's a
strange smichas of parshas, but it's a strange... This is a strange solution to that smichas of parshas, that you have to use a strap of a calf. Why? Oh, because the Torah put that pasuk right next to it. Okay, well, why did it do that? Right? Like, what's the... Right? It's just hard to... What's the reason why we're using it? Because that pasuk is right after it? But how does that... So what is the reason? Right? It's like not... It doesn't really give you much insight. Yeah, let's read a little further, because I'm always going to explain soon about the calf. I mean, the donkey also. But it's going to digress a little bit. Okay, so a Yavama, so that's a woman who doesn't have any kids, and her husband dies without any children, right? So she does Yibam, right? Or Chalitza, right? She marries the brother of the... Of her dead husband. So how do you know? Let's say she falls in front of someone who's a muchashchen. He's got boils. He's gross. Something's wrong with him. She'en chos minosa. How do you know that you don't muzzle her and force her to marry him? Right? Oh, Rashi ein megarim ba shalotomer yashu. But you don't like rebuke her and tell her you should do it. You should do it. Come on, come on. Be a good girl and do it. No, you don't do that to her. You don't pressure her to do yibam to the guy. Who's gross? Something's wrong with him. How do you know you don't do that? Oh, the chsiv lo sach som shor b'disho, because it says this pasuk, don't muzzle shor. The samachlein right after that, kesh v'achem, parshav yibam. So that's smichas on the other side. Says is by muzzle. Don't do muzzling not only on an animal, also don't do muzzling of the Yavama. The muzzler and force are basically to work and to do the job, to do Yibam when she doesn't, you know. It's also strange, isn't it? Maybe even more strange. Although, at least there, it's sensible. The conclusion is sensible. The limud is funny, but the conclusion is sensible. It's saying, look, you don't force her. Yibam is an opportunity, but if it's not, you know, you don't force it on her.
I mean,
I guess the having to force her is because you say, look, her husband, the mitzvah of Yibam is to be making zara for her husband. Right? And you might say that's the right thing to do. After all, her husband died without any zara. And there's a mitzvah to have her do Yibam. And her brother, the brother, wants to do Yibam. So you might say you should put pressure on her. Because after all, it's a mitzvah. You're supposed to be making zara for the brother. So you might think that you could, I don't know if you could force her, but Rashi Rivam's interpreting to mean you pressure her, yell at her, get angry at her, whatever. So that's it saying is no. It's a Yibam question, right? But I mean, to me, I could see saying is that it's the right thing to do, right? After all, you married your husband, you want to carry on his zera, you're dying without zera. You see the guy, if he doesn't want to do Yibam, you do Chalitza, which is like a bizayon to him. Right, so you see, it's like a type of pressure we put on him. Spit in his shoe and say, you know, basically it's not, right? To be Zion. So maybe you'd say, you leave me as they are, pressure are. So it sounds like he's saying, no, you don't do that. That you don't do. Okay, that's real further. Amar Sheshes Misham Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So now this is basically the one who said this original statement about the strap being, you know, made out of calf because of the Simchas Pashas, was Rosh Sheshes in the name of Elazar ben Azariah. So now the Gemara is basically doing a few statements of him, okay, based on Simchas. Some of the Yom Tovim is as if he's Oved Vodzara. Dechsev, elo heimaseh halos asalacha, don't make idols. Right? V'samachles chagamatzos tishmar, you should guard chagamatzos. So you see, if you don't do chagamatzos, you vaz the mothers, it's like you're doing Vodzara. Okay? Fine. Rashi, by the way, says, Chag as a mother's kichol shemoi, means chal moi. Right? Okay, fine. Then it says, Omer v'sheish as mishum elazar ben Azariah. One more. Kol m'saper lashon hara, v'chol m'chaba lashon hara, v'chol m'ayad the sheker. So anyone who talks lashon hara, or receives lashon hara, or testifies falsely, roi lashlichol klavim. It's fitting to throw him to the dogs. Dechsev lakelav tashlicha nosel. It's talking about by Nevela, I think you should throw it to the dogs. Yesamach leilo sisa shem hashav. Don't bear a false hearing. Kari beinami lo sasi. Don't. So I think that's like to say it or to, I don't know, make it hurt or something like that. So I think that means to make it hurt. It's either if you speak lashon hara or if you're makabel lashon hara. So it's like you're making it hurt. So you shouldn't say it, or you shouldn't be the recipient. So because the smicha is the parshias of that, to Kel Tashlichan also basically says, if you do any of these things, it's like you're fit to be thrown to the dogs. Okay, so this is, I guess, Rabbi Sheshes, in the name of Elazar ben Azariah, had this thing of like going through the Torah and finding certain smichos and to be dorish them in a godly kind of ways. Now all of these, I mean, you could dorish each one of these things and try to work out the idea about them, right? They're like nice little, you know, Divrei Torah, if you will, you know? But, you know, I don't mind trying to do that. I didn't prepare to do that. But if anyone wants to, you know, we could try to do something like that. But what I'd like to do first is let's just go to the next one. Because the next one is going to be another one about Malchus. Okay? So the next one is not him, but remember the thing is that the whip is made out of a calf, but it also has a chamar mixed into it. So the calf, we see why, because of Sassan Shabadisha. So then what about the chamar? So it says, there's tana, shel chamar, kididorish ahu galila ala derem chista. Like this person from Galil was dorish regarding Rav Chista, or from Rav Chista. Yada shar konehu, Ashur knows his master. V'chamas evas balav, and a chamar knows the trough of his master, right? Yisrael lo yada, but the Kal Yisrael doesn't know. So he divrei musar to Kal Yisrael. Okay, the Rimas of the Klai Yisrael and Yeshaya, the very beginning. Right? So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, Yavo mi shemakir evas balav, let the one who recognizes the trough of its master, namely the Chamar, and let him pay back, punish the one who doesn't recognize the trough of his master. Namely, the person who did this Avera, who gets Malkus for it. Right? Okay? So basically, this is explains the combo. That you have a combo of calf and chamar. Calf because of the Sachsam Shabbatisho, and the chamar because of the master thing. Right? Strange. Why don't we try to gain some insight into these? Okay? I mean, they're kind of similar. Not quite, but similar in that they're based upon these associations of these different animals, and right? Psukim where the animals come up. Right? But they're, you know, they're different in particulars. But they're basically the determinants of the material that the straps are made of. What's the whole Indian? I mean, I don't know. Just hit him with a strap. Who cares? Right? I mean, what's this whole... Sounds very drashy, but it's a halacha. Right? He says like this. He says, Ketzim alakano, so kofish seyad of lamud, heilach veheilach. You tie his hands to the pillar on the two sides. Chazan knesset uches begadav. You hold his clothing. And nikru nikru nifru 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 achshim agalas lebal. So you reveal his heart. She ain makehu al ksusa. You don't hit him on his clothing. Shenemar be he kahu below the ksusa. You hit him, not his garment. Maybe that I guess could use a svara. Maybe we should explain that at some point. Is there some idea there? I mean, what's a hamin? What's a maskana? Right? It's a limud. You have to hit him on his bare skin, not on his ksus. Even as soon as Achor Rav Chazan makhe omed alav. You stand on this rock. Ratzu shel egel biyado kful l'shnayim v'shnayim l'arba. So you have this strap of the egel folded into two, two into four. The shirchus chamor also on the spine, the chamor on the inside. Okay, fine. The rocha ratzu tefach v'arka k'deshi megas ad pikreso v'yad shirchus ochad ba tefach. Okay, it doesn't really explain too much, right? Doesn't add too much. Doesn't explain too much. Okay, but it's brought down halacha. It's not just a a recommendation. Whatever, I mean, is what I'm just bringing down. This is how you do it. This one, it's hard to tell. It's like totally just the limud. The second one is like giving some philosophy, you know? It's like a person, Hashem says, let the person who doesn't recognize his master, I'm sorry, let the animal which does recognize or hit the person who doesn't. So that's like a philosophical message, if you will, right? So, that philosophical message is... becomes halachified somehow, but it is a philosophical message pretty explicitly. The egel, it's not 100% clear. It's just a smichas, right? It's not clear what that is. But I guess at the very least we could try to understand the philosophical message and then see how that finds its way into the halacha, right? One of those questions which seems to be like a halacha, philosophy, you know, connection, if you will. What's the balance, and how do you work this out, and, right? One little thing, which is not yet a thought, but it's answering your question, Josh, about the halacha, is like, on the one hand, you say, look, there's a halacha, yeah, you use a strap. Now, you could just say, it's arbitrary, use a strap, whatever you want, right? Go to, the local belt store. Get your best strap, whatever. But you could see how that's not usually the way halacha works. Right? Like Mises Beis Din also, I mean, this halacha has, there's a procedure, and there's a precise procedure. Right? I assume, for example, in America also, let's say you execute someone, lethal injection, I assume there's a procedure. You'll just leave these things open-ended, but there's a specific way the thing is done. Right? So it's... And it creates a uniformity. That is a halacha, after all. It's a mitzvah to give a malchus. So it's a mitzvah, it has to take on a form. Right? It has to take on a form. So now the question is, what's the form going to be? So let's say you say, intrinsically, any strap would do it. Right? Intrinsically, any strap would do it. But at the same time, you have to codify it, and you have to specify what strap to use. Right? So now if there are certain straps, materials, which would reflect concepts, maybe concepts about Malchus or something like that, right? Why he's getting Malchus, right? Let the one who doesn't recognize his master come or whatever, some idea about Malchus. So you could say the Torah didn't just codify it in an arbitrary way based upon leather consistency and availability and, I don't know, whatever else, what looks nicer, what's more smoother or softer or whatever factors you want on the side, what makes a better sound or has a nicer finish. But rather, it shows the materials, the material of the strap, based upon it being in line with the concepts of Malchus. Right? Whatever those concepts may be, which we could think into. But you know what I mean? Like, so in halachically, you could just say, look, why do you use these medium? Because that's not din. That's the halacha. So from the Masorah, Torah, Dindir, Piyashmoa, whatever, this is the halacha, this is the parsha, it's teaching that, it's a limud. And halachically, that's the halacha. The strap is made out of leather, of egel, together with hamar. And that's the Xeris HaKasuf. But now there's a basis for the Xeris HaKasuf. There's a concept in Malchus, which is, or concepts in Malchus, which are being brought out by that particular selection. But like that is almost like the philosophy, it's like the Tom. I mean, arguably. I mean, maybe we could weave it in somehow, but I don't have a problem with that, you know, because it sounds philosophical. And there is a halacha, because the philosophy is the cause of halacha. You know, it's like the philosophy is not the halacha. That's what I think. You don't want to mix philosophy into the halacha. But you could say the halacha is very simple. It has to be a strap of an egel. That's it. Just gossip. Right? It has to be something. Now, the philosophy is that it's not just an arbitrary decision. The decision is in line with the philosophical objective we're trying to accomplish. Right? So, I would think that's a good start. And then let's think into these philosophical ideas. And then maybe, if we're fortunate, you'll be able to somehow see that maybe there's something more than that. You know? Maybe it's more than just philosophy. Maybe it's a Kiyam or, I don't know, something like that. Perhaps. Or perhaps not. You know? But it would seem that there's certainly what it sounds like it's doing. And whether it's doing something more, I think it should or may naturally emerge out of what, you know, what we do with it. Yeah. Okay, so Gersh is saying, well, is that, so you have the what's the pasuk? It says, Yada shar kanei v'chamar esbaralaf, right? A donkey. A chamar. Right? Shar. They know their master. Right? They know their water trough. They know the hand that feeds them. Right? A chamar isn't going to rebel against its master. That's where it gets its food from. Right? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Right? Bad idea. And a dumb chamar knows that. Right? Even a dumb chamar knows that. It's stupid. You're hurting yourself. You're not going to get food tonight. Bite your bad hand to the master of your master's hand. He's not going to feed you for today. And that happens one time, and you learn your lesson. And then you don't do it again. And then the chamar, you know, treats his master properly. Right? But Klal Yisrael, who has the instincts of a chamar, but has intelligence also, and we are rebelling against a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us in the desert and all the different things Hashem did for us, made us a nation, gives us our needs. He's the Borei Olam, and he's the Melech, and he's the Dayan, and all that. And we have our, and all our success, which we have, is because of the graciousness of the Melech Malchei Melechim. And he's our master. And we just go against the Torah. He says, don't do X. Don't eat pig, and you eat pig. Right? Don't mechal yantav, and you mechal yantav. It's like there's something, that's the Navi's Musar. It's crazy. You're worse than a donkey. Right? The donkey has dominion over you. The donkey, in a sense, is better than you. It's like part of the, even on an instinctual level, even if you're not chachamim, even on an instinctual level, you should know that, and you shouldn't go towards Chay. Because the fear of the consequence itself should deter you from Chay. Let alone the philosophical recognition of being an Adam, right? But this sinner who we're whipping is not even at the level of a donkey. So it's like the donkey has dominion over him. So let the donkeys hit him. It's like let the donkey put him in his place. Let the donkey show him how to act. Right? It's like it's giving him mussar. You're less than a donkey in this regard. You're not even living up to the level of a donkey. And we're hitting you. But the hitting is an expression of the fact. Who are we hitting? We're hitting a guy who's out of line. Or basically making a statement. Making a statement that this is why he's being hit. He's being hit because he's stepping out of and he's living like a donkey, worse than a donkey. Now who's it for? So Gersh, you're saying it's for him. To give him mussar. To let him see. It's true. You could also say it's for the people. I think he says it by there. But I mean, it's public. People are meant to see it. So you're basically giving a message. This guy is dumb. He's like a dumb donkey. Right? Dumber than a donkey. And it's like part of the mussar is not just... It's not just saying it's wrong. It's saying it's stupid. It's like an animal. And the animal has dominion over him. So arguably it's showing the people the idea also. And arguably also it's showing the dayanim. The dayanim aren't just hitting him aggressively. Because they're in the mood to let out their aggression, they're conveying a philosophical message. Right? Right? Okay. So again, it's not just an arbitrary decision, but the Torah chooses a min which will bring to mind that concept which is implicit in the Malchus. Okay, and what's the other one? So, Michas Aparshas. Masachsam Shravadisha. Anyone have a thought on that? It's harder, right? So, perhaps you could say, this is maybe a little more speculative, but, I mean, the limud of Malchus is whenever you violate a lav, which is similar to the lav of Chasima. Okay, that's the model. So, basically, why are you getting Malchus? Why are you getting Malchus? Because you violated a lav in the Torah. Similar to Hasima. Hashem said, don't muzzle, and you muzzle. Hashem said, don't eat pig, and you eat pig. Hashem said, right? That's basically what the Malchus is for. So maybe it's like the hitting, the min which is being used to hit, brings to mind the Pasuk and the place of Malchus in the Torah, which basically sets up that Malchus is for violating Elos HaSai, like Hasima. So it's like by drawing to mind the shor and that pasuk, it basically highlights that Malchus is, not because we don't like this guy, but the Malchus is based upon the fact that he violated a Mefurash Lav in the Torah. So it's again, it's like it highlights what the Malchus is for. Malchus is for a Lav. And when we're hitting him, it's the hitting him is directly correlated with the lav that he violated. Right? And for his stupidity. Maybe those two things are like, halachically the Malchus is for violating a lav, and philosophically the Malchus is for being an idiot. You know, like, dumber than a donkey. It's like there are two dimensions of the Malchus in a sense, you know? Like on the halachic level, you use the shar, which is the halachic violation and what the thing is for, basically because you're breaching the Tzivoy Hashem, the Direct Tzivoy Hashem. But it's laced with Chamor, basically conveying that it's more than just a halachic violation, that you're breaching the system, but you're making a terrible error, and you're stooping to a level below a donkey. So it's like, that's like the plainest, the main substance is the shor. But it's like interwoven with some, you know, pieces of chamor in there to show like that's on halachically, the essence of halachically is for violating a law, and the system has a repair that, you know, people don't just break the system. But at the same time, there's a word of mussar thrown into there also, you know, from Yeshayahu, and you want to reference that as well. You don't want to just say you breached the system, system says you buy a lav, you get Magus Bol. It's true. But there's also a philosophical lesson we want to bring to his mind, which is Musar and the Adam's, you know, the Chilte makes, you know, fooled by his chet. Yeah, so again, the point is that, again, it could be for him, it could be for other people, it could be for the Dayanim. But the point is that given the halacha is not arbitrary, so the halacha is specific about how the Malchus takes place, so it's specific, it chooses particulars which bring to mind the content of what the Malchus is, and thereby makes the Malchus into an ideational hitting, and not just a aggressive hitting. It's like a hitting which is built, has ideas built into it. Not just Stam whipping again. You know, maybe that's something to do with the psukim we read also. You know, we have to get there. But you also read psukim when you hit them. You know.